the museum is all about the Iroquois Native Americans, who are the original inhabitants of New York State. So we show their archaeological background, the earliest points and other instruments that were found in the Schoharie County area. And then we move upward in time. We go through the history, talk a little bit about how the Iroquois Confederacy was formed, give you a little background of who the Iroquois people are. But the main focus of the museum is on contemporary Iroquois culture and contemporary Iroquois art. So each year we do a major exhibit that highlights some form of contemporary Iroquois artwork. And we use that artwork to help to educate and to explain about who the Iroquois are. So the museum has been in existence since 1981. We'll celebrate our 35th anniversary next year. And we've just enjoyed having getting to know Iroquois artists and getting to introduce Iroquois artists to non-Native people.
Tell us a little bit more about the Iroquois. How were they different than some of the other tribes? A little bit more about their history and the influence they had in this part of the country.
Well, they are the biggest group of Native people in the Northeast. There were Algonquian Indians and various other groups that were here. And they were a major force pretty much in all of New York State, and are made up of six separate nations: the Mohawk, Oneida, Onondaga, Cayuga, Seneca, and then the Tuscarora, who are the sixth nation, came up from the Carolinas in the 1700s and joined the other five original nations. And they were, you know, major trading influence with the Dutch who came over, with the other European groups that came into the area, and really were very influential, I believe, with meeting the Europeans as they first came over. They met white people much quicker than a lot of the other Native groups, so they've been, working with us for a lot longer than a lot of the other groups have.
What was the relationship back then with the European settlers? Was it a friendly one, or was there hostility at times?
Definitely, you know, it would come and go. It's like all people all over the world, I guess, there were problems. Generally speaking, I think most of the time people got along. There was a symbiotic relationship because they traded for European goods and the Europeans traded for furs and those sorts of things. But there was, there's a cultural difference and there's a religious difference. So there were obviously skirmishes and problems. When the Revolutionary War was on, some Iroquois sided with the British, some Iroquois sided with the colonists. And that sort of changed things because after the Revolutionary War, many Iroquois who sided with the British actually moved into Canada. And so families got split up because of that in many ways.
As you noted, the museum today focuses largely on the Iroquois of today. Tell us more about the Iroquois of today. Are they still in this region?
Yes, there are actually more Iroquois living today than there were back in the Revolutionary War time. They live all across New York State in various communities. There are 18 Iroquois communities, which are, in essence, their land. It's set aside. It's not a reservation. It's sovereign land. And then there are a number of communities in Canada. As I said, a lot of the Iroquois who sided with the British during the Revolution were ceded land in Canada by the British. So there are a number of communities there. But there are approximately, I think, somewhere between 80,000 and 100,000 Iroquois across the United States. There are communities in Wisconsin, communities in Oklahoma. There's actually a community in New York City of many Mohawks who work on the high steel.
You have been at the museum in one form or the other since 1985. You began in 1985 as a volunteer, and now you're the new director. Tell us about your journey through the museum, how it started, and the changes you've seen.
Well, it's been very exciting. I mean, it's become sort of my second home. I started out as a volunteer working on the archaeology sites that the museum had back in the 80s. And I, painted cases, and I actually finally decided I needed to go back and get my master's in anthropology in order to be able to get a paid position at the museum. And then worked part-time off and on until we opened in our new museum here in House Cave in 1992, where I then was the curator. And I've been the curator since then until now, and I've just taken over the exciting job of being the director and trying to move us forward and see, make the place a success, hopefully.
If people want more information about the museum, its hours, etc., do you have a website? Where should they go?
We do. We have a website, www.iroquoismuseum.org. We have calendar of events on there, our admission prices, our hours. There's actually another section of that website that's called the Learning Longhouse, which has tons and tons of information for kids who are doing projects in school. There's pictures, there's resources. It's a really great area to go to for a lot of the fourth and fifth, sixth graders that are learning about Iroquois in school.